Leviticus 22. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Tell Aaron and his sons to be careful with the holy gifts of the sons of Israel, which they dedicate to me, so as not to profane my holy name. I am the Lord. Say to them, if any man among all your descendants throughout your generations approaches the holy gifts which the sons of Israel dedicate to the Lord, while he has an uncleanness, that person should be cut off from before me. I am the Lord. No man of the descendants of Aaron who is a leper who has a discharge may eat of the holy gifts until he is clean. And if one touches anything made unclean by a corpse, or if a man has a seminal emission, or if a man touches any teeming things by which he is made unclean, or any man by whom he has made unclean, whatever his uncleanness, a person who touches any such shall be unclean until evening and shall not eat of the holy gifts unless he has bathed his body in water. But when the sun sets, he shall be clean, and afterward he shall eat of the holy gifts, for it is his food. He shall not eat an animal which dies or is torn by beasts, becoming unclean by it. I am the Lord. They shall therefore keep my charge, so that they may not bear sin because of it and die thereby because they profane it. I am the Lord who sanctifies them. No layman, however, is to eat the holy gift. A sojourner with a priest or a hired man shall not eat of the holy gift. If a priest buys a slave as his property with his money, that one may eat of it, and those who are born in his house may eat of his food. And if a priest's daughter is married to a layman, she shall not eat the offering of the gifts. But if a priest's daughter becomes a widow or divorced and has no child and returns to her father's house as in her youth, she shall eat of her father's food, but no layman shall eat of it. But if a man eats a holy gift unintentionally, then he shall add to it a fifth of it, and he shall give the holy gift to the priest. And they shall not profane the holy gifts of the sons of Israel, which they offer to the Lord, and so cause them to bear punishment for guilt by eating their holy gifts, for I am the Lord who sanctifies them." Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and to his sons and to all the sons of Israel, and say to them, any man of the house of Israel or of the aliens in Israel who presents his offering, whether it is any of their votive or any of their freewill offerings, which they present to the Lord for a burnt offering, for you to be accepted, it must be a male without defect from the cattle, the sheep, or the goats. Whatever has a defect, you shall not offer, for it will not be accepted for you. And when a man offers a sacrifice of peace offerings to the Lord to fulfill a special vow, or for a freewill offering of the herd or of the flock, it must be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no defect in it. Those that are blind or fractured or maimed or having a running sore or eczema or scab, you shall not offer to the Lord, nor make them an offering by fire on the altar to the Lord. In respect to an ox or a lamb which has an overgrown or stunted member, you may present it for a freewill offering, but for a vow it shall not be accepted. Also, anything with its testicles bruised or crushed or torn or cut, you shall not offer to the Lord or sacrifice in your land. Nor shall you accept any such from the hand of a foreigner for offering as the food of your God, for their corruption is in them. They have a defect, they shall not be accepted for you." Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "When an ox or a sheep or a goat is born, it shall remain 7 days with its mother, and from the eighth day it shall be accepted as a sacrifice of an offering by fire to the Lord. But whether it is an ox or a sheep, you shall not kill both it and its young in one day. And when you sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, you shall sacrifice it so that you may be accepted. It shall be eaten on the same day. You shall leave none of it until morning. I am the Lord. So you shall keep my commandments and do them. I am the Lord. And you shall not profane my holy name, but I will be sanctified among the sons of Israel. I am the Lord who sanctifies you, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord." Amen. So we're continuing on. These are the rules of the priest. Chapter 21 concern the rules of how they're to live. And then chapter 22 is the rules of how they should sacrifice and what they should do with that. So the word gifts that's translated here in 22 is the word sacrifice. And so, you know, that's what it means in this way. And there's a lot of rules for them, you know, for their cleanliness. I want to touch on a couple of things, and then I want to give you an overriding principle here through most of this book. We'll be done with this book hopefully by next week, and then we're gonna take a little break. Well, I'm going to take a little break, and then because when we start the fast, we're going to start with Numbers chapter 1. So just to make a very clean break, you know, it's crazy. It's taken us a year to just do three books, right? So it's a bit crazy, but there's, I mean, each of the chapters are so meaty and so thick. So in sundry laws, the one thing is when they talk about clean and unclean, and so if someone's unclean, especially a leper or whatnot, and then they bathe themselves, there's, in other words, there's this idea of ritual cleansing, and then in the morning after that time, after their season, then they'll be clean. It doesn't mean that they're going to be healed, okay? That's not what the text is saying, but it means that they're going to be clean, that they're going to be cleansed. Whatever God looks at someone as being clean or unclean, through this ritual, they're now going to be considered clean. Not healed, their leprosy and their thing is still there, but the spiritual state or whatever it may be is now to be considered clean. This really is a foreshadowing of the New Testament rite of baptism. They're already, you know, we've already given ourselves to the Lord, but there's something of the transforming power of God when you come into the water. And then when you come out, you know, the text talks about being a new creation in that way. And so, you know, so we see all these nods, especially in the book of Leviticus, to very much New Testament principles. And so, you know, we see that it happens. You know, when Jesus said, you know, I didn't come to abolish the law and the prophets, I came to fulfill it, you know, we understand more of what that means, because he's not obliterating the Old Testament, especially, you know, the laws, which would be almost the whole of the book of Leviticus. He's saying that he's come to fulfill it. He's come to give us a better description or better idea of what that's like. Now, let me give you an overriding thing. You know, we've gone through so many laws and rules and regulations. Even like, you know, if you have a deformed animal, you can give it for an offering or sacrifice, but you can't give it for a vow offering. You know, and there's so many different rules and there's so many different regulations. And, you know, even in this short passage, if you are a priest and you have a daughter, if the daughter is married, they cannot share, right? But the daughter is not married and, you know, is a widow or whatever the case may be, then you can have them to share. And this would be the portion of the sacrifice that's given to the priests. Again, agricultural society, everyone else is working, basically tilling the field, taking care of the herds. They have source of food, source of trade. The priests are solely there to offer sacrifice, to serve God, and so they're unable to work. Okay, you know, the whole idea of priests working actually came really through Paul, and so, you know, the idea of tent making, you know, in this regard, and so we don't have to get into that, but one of the overriding things, and when you finish the book of Leviticus, and I'll talk about this at the end as well, you finish with a really stark reality. One, God is expressing the fear of his holiness. God is so holy. Man cannot step into that holiness. You can, but you have to jump through this, all these different hurdles to get to what it means to step into the holiness of God. In essence, when we look through this book, it is a near impossibility. I hope that's what you conclude when we finish this, that, man, it is nearly impossible to keep the law. It is nearly impossible to be holy in our own strength, you know, to fulfill this sacrifice and that sacrifice, and I mean, and just, you know, and then the way that this rule and that rule and whatnot. Now, God is not a God of rules, okay? You have to be very clear about this. But what this portrayal is, it's really a foreshadowing or pointing to the need of our Savior. It's this whole passage, all these texts, again, are all about the preservation of the people of Israel so that they can be preserved and not be tainted by the foreigners, you know, by things that are happening there, and so that a son can be born into this tribe and he will take away the sins of the world. Once and for all, you know, Paul talks about in Romans, once and for all, the sacrifice. Though as even through, you know, one man sin came, through one man, Jesus Christ, redemption comes. And it's this, really, this drama of the holiness of God, the inability of man to step into this holiness, and the need for Christ the Savior to come and rescue mankind from this. And when you read through this, like one of the, you know, I'll be honest, it's you know, we're at chapter 22. It's getting quite tedious, even for me, trying to teach this. I usually am pretty excited when I come to EMP, generally speaking, and I'm still excited. You know, don't get me wrong, but if I'm going to be perfectly honest, there's a part of me that I wish that the text was a little more lively, you know, a little more stuff that I could do with, right? And but the thing that keeps me going is in the back of my mind, I have this idea that, yeah, God is holy. Man, he is so holy. And we have no idea what that word means. Even myself, I have no idea what that word means. It is so beyond my grasp, so beyond my comprehension of what it means to be holy. You know, and think about it. The moment I think that I'm holy, I'm not. You know, I can't grasp this thing, and that's why it's something that's imputed to me. It's something that's freely given to me, not by my merit or my ability to grasp, but because of the atonement, because of Jesus and his sacrifice. And when I read the book of Leviticus, man, I'm just so thankful to God for Jesus. We don't have to do this. Can you imagine what church would be like right now if we went to this sacrificial system? You know what I mean? I mean, can you imagine? Our carpet would be so bloody. I mean, we would not want our kids anywhere near the sanctuary. I mean, we probably, instead of glass, I mean, I would just make it black, right? I wouldn't want any child to look in to just, you know, I mean, you guys have to would bring, and you know, let's say our New Year's Eve service, you guys have to would bring your animal, right, and come in. I mean, it's just crazy how this works. But again, it's all a foreshadowing of our need for God. We cannot, in our own strength, prepare any recompense for sin. It's only through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think as I've been going through the book of Leviticus, man, it just constantly gives me pause to say, God, thank you for my sins. I mean, okay, thank you for the forgiveness of my sins, okay? Let's get that correct. I mean, thank you that you forgive me. Man, there is none righteous, not even one. And I'm numbered in that way. I'm numbered with the transgressors. And in that same regard, thank you for your atoning sacrifice that I can step in into the holiness of God. It is imputed to me. The righteousness is imputed to me because of what you've done for me. And I mean, can you imagine being a priest? Man, I vote for, you know, modern-day priesthood compared to the Old Testament priesthood any day of the week and things. And it's amazing how this works. And so as a reflection today, you know, thank God for Jesus. Thank God that we don't have to do this anymore. All right, thank God that you can be free. This morning, whatever conviction is in your heart, whatever unforgiveness issues or, you know, whatever sin issues that you're bringing to the Lord's table today, listen, brothers and sisters, You can be free this morning. You can be cleansed. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. He is able to do that because of what Christ has done on the cross. This morning, as we worship the Lord, let's meditate on the power of the cross of Christ. We're all equal at the cross. We're all sinners redeemed at the cross. And so let's spend a moment and just thank the Lord. Man, thank you, God, for Jesus. For His once and for all sacrifice that took care of my sins and the sins of the world. Let's sing and meditate.
Jesus, I love you. I love you. Your name is like honey on my lips. Your spirit like water to my soul. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. Jesus, I love you. I love you. Your name is like honey on my lips. Your spirit like water to my soul. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. Jesus, I love you. I love you. Jesus, I love you. I love you. Jesus, I love you. I love you.
Let's just continue to offer up that praise to the Lord. That's our confession. Lord, we love you. We thank you. You're such a good God. You know the impossibility for me, for us, to be free and to be cleansed. And so you make provision through the cross. Lord, thank you. Let's continue to give the Lord our hearts this morning as we pray individually before we get into corporate prayer. Let's thank Him, from deep down inside, for the cross. Thank Him that we are cleansed, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Neither height nor depth, nor angels or demons, nothing past, nothing present. No created thing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Let's pray over our community that are battling cancer. Let's pray that they would win this battle. Pray for their family. And, you know, it's not just stressful for the person, but it's also quite stressful for the whole family. Let's pray for God's grace just to cover them during this time. Let's pray for our community that are going through illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for that word of healing, that word of salvation. Let's pray for our community that's ill or some kind of body issues. Let's pray for God's complete healing. Pray for a community looking for work. Let's pray for God's provision. Let's pray for SP Singapore. Let's pray for God's hand upon this country. Particularly pray for the church. You know, we have a group of four board members and six lay preachers that are really doing the pastoral role here during this time. And so let's just pray for covering for them. And even with the mission, without a pastor, they're still growing. I mean, it's just amazing. Let's also pray for Indonesia. Let's pray for Febe. Pray for our mission post in Kupang and the ministry there. Let's ask God to bless Southeast Asia and Singapore and Indonesia and just do a really deep work in these places and bless our friends ministering these countries. Let's pray. Let's pray for IP Well and Cascade. Let's pray for just real powerful anointing to pray and to heal. Let's especially lift up Cascade and just prayer over the scheduling that our members can go through Cascade quickly. And just pray for God's covering over these three very important ministries at church. Let's pray for our men's and women's ministries. Let's lift up our guys, even with the young adult guys and young adult women as well. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to really lead them and guide them. And there'll be just so much grace upon them to really share and connect with each other. Let's also pray for the men's retreat follow-up on Monday nights as they finish the Conqueror series. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our outreach tonight. Let's pray for SP Lights and the homeless outreach. Let's pray for God's blessing and provision. Let's pray for a real powerful encounter in what's going on in Wan Chai. After some of the incidents that's been going on, there's quite a bit of fear. I was just reading this morning an article on that in Bloomberg. And let's just really ask God's hand to be upon the ladies there. They would be really set free, and that SP Lights would have a great impact upon them. And also for our homeless outreach. And let's pray for a real effective witness tonight. Let's pray for Austin West, Soho, and Robin Hood, our house churches tonight. Let's pray for the presence of God, just really deep heart sharing and connection with the Lord and each other tonight. And lastly, let's lift up the town hall this Sunday night. Let's pray for, it's a really wonderful time of celebration as we just review all the things that the Lord did this year. And let's ask for God's favor and blessing over that evening. Pray, Father, we just thank you for the cross, God. We thank you for everything you've done for us, Lord. We are very keenly aware of our inability to draw near to you in our own strength. So we thank you for the provision of Christ, Lord, who takes away the sins of the world, the Lamb of God. Lord, help us today, God, live lives worthy of that truth, Lord, in our hearts. We live today free, God, redeemed, cleansed, God, by your blood. So we thank you. We want to walk in that freedom today. We bless you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.